John chapter 1, in your Bibles this morning, the Gospel of John. And as we look at a couple of verses together before we're dismissed, and I'll be brief this morning, I want you to notice in particular, if you would, three specific negatives in one verse that all have to do with the single greatest issue in all the universe. Notice chapter 1, verse 11. It says, He, Jesus, came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name, which were born, and of course that means born again, as we'll see, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The three negatives you may have noticed here are all included in verse 13. What does it say? Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, when it comes to spiritual birth, when it comes to a relationship with God and eternal life itself, you'll notice that God essentially opens the entire discussion by saying, no. No, you are not a child of God because of this. No, you are not born into God's family because of that. And no, you are not going to see the kingdom of God because of this either. It's all just sort of no, no, and no. And by the way, it's interesting that the Greek word for no in the Bible is very interesting. It's the same one for nor and not that are contained in this text. It is an absolute negative adverb that is pronounced auch or ouch. In modern Greek, it's written O-X-I, which is sort of otsi. But in New Testament Greek, it was more like ouch or, frankly, ouchy. A child says, Papa, may I have some more baklava? And he answers, no, ouch. Man says to his girlfriend, will you marry me? She answers, no, ouch, right? It's a fitting etymology because nobody really likes to be told no, which of course illustrates an extremely important spiritual issue. You see, folks, everybody in this room believes in and values the word no. The world declares, in fact, that you have a right. You have a right to say no. What decent parent says yes to every single thing that their little toddler wants? Little three-year-old wants to grab an electrical wire, and of course, mom says, no. Daddy, I want to eat the entire box of candy canes. No. Can I kick my little brother, mom? No. Rick, you can't. And of course, this is not an ethic, beloved. This is not a right that applies just to children. If you want to drive your car 120 miles an hour in a school zone, you're going to be told no. If you insist that 1 plus 1 equals 5 and you can flap your arms and fly like a bird, the whole world is going to tell you no. Pastor, I want the Miami Dolphins to go to the Super Bowl. No. In fact, for the past 30 years, it's been no, 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 no. And guess what? It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you believe or hope or insist or demand. It's still no. When I go to Walmart and I get a cart, I say, I want you to go this way. It says, no. It happens every single time. Tomorrow is the first day of winter. I want it to snow. And the earth says no. No is a word of truth. And it goes back again to this, as we said, extremely, extremely important spiritual issue. Because you know what, folks? As much as we all recognize and understand that there is this duty and this right and this responsibility to use the word no appropriately, do you realize that there are a lot of people in the world, maybe a lot of folks in this room right now, who insist that God does not have that right? Someone says, this is how I'm going to go to heaven. And God says, no. And they instantly protest. And they protest by saying, wait a minute. My God, what God would ever say no to anybody? My God would never. A loving God wouldn't do this. A fair God wouldn't do this. And so it goes with the words of men. Thankfully, this morning, we all have this today, the Word of God. And guess what? with three specific issues regarding, again, how to be saved, how to go to heaven, how to have your sins forgiven, God actually begins by saying no. Now remember, just two chapters after this, in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus told his late night visitor, a man named Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now folks, Nicodemus was a priest. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler, a teacher in Israel. He was respected, wealthy, prominent, and religious. And yet, it was he who was admonished by Christ himself. You, Nicodemus, must be born again. So then guess what? Whatever it was that he was doing in order to see the kingdom of God when he died, it wasn't acceptable to God. It wasn't right. It wasn't true. It wasn't efficacious. It was just no. Nicodemus was the living, walking, breathing personification of the three negatives here in verse 13. Why? I want you to notice, number one, the first way in Scripture that a person is not born again. Now, you better pay very close attention, because maybe this is the one you're trusting in. And God one day will say no to you at heaven's gate. This is number one. Notice verse 12 again. As many as received, and to them gave you power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born as sons, born again, here it is, number one, not of blood. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, very simply, is that no person, no man, woman, or child, no one has ever been born into God's family or born again because of a natural inheritance, that is, no bloodline. Think about this, no bloodline, no matter how noble, religious, or honorable, has any effect on whether or not you are a child of God. I have a great-grandfather buried in Beckley, West Virginia. All of his adult life, he was a circuit-riding Baptist preacher. A lot of folks got saved, gave his life to the ministry, served God with all of his heart. But I'm going to tell you something. All of that service to God way back then does absolutely nothing for me and my spiritual inheritance. God, as the saying says, God has no grandchildren, only children. And if you're here this morning and you think, well, you know what, Pastor, I come from a very religious family. I've got relatives and loved ones who were in the ministry. I grew up in a Christian home. Religion and church have always run in our family. May I say this? Hear this carefully. Religion may indeed run in your family. And you know what? Religion may indeed have been passed down to you. But when it comes to salvation and the forgiveness of sins and true Christianity, you must be born again. And God says that those who are born again are born, but, quote, not of blood. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Gentile, American, Russian, Latino, Oriental, African, you must be born again. I remind you, David was a man after God's own heart, but his son Absalom was not. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, but his son Cain did not. Why? Because the main thing that Cain inherited from his father Adam is the same thing that you have inherited from yours, and that is the sin nature. And so it is that in the Word of God, God says that children of God are born, but not of blood. That's not all. Go to verse 13. Here's the second one. It says, which were born as sons, not of blood, nor, ouch is the word, nor of the will of the flesh. Pastor, what's that mean? That means that no amount of self-determination or human effort or energy on your part, listen to this, no amount of human effort can make anyone a child of God. Brother Terry Frost down here this morning, suppose, Brother Terry, that you decided that you were tired of being a Frost. You know, just a everyday commoner in American society. And suppose that you wanted to live on Jupiter Island. Wouldn't we all? And come from a long line of wealthy DuPonts or the Hines family. And you've been to Jupiter Island, Brother Terry, right? I'm sure you guys have driven through. I don't think you stopped. I stopped once and got a misdemeanor ticket for trespassing. That's the honest truth. There's a lot of old money over there. So, Brother Terry, in an effort to be a part of the Jupiter Island crowd, Population is 875. You want to make 876. And if you invite Tammy, 877. And so you go and you take out a loan and you rent a Range Rover and you buy some estate jewelry and you knock on Tiger's house and ask him for, you know, a cup of sugar or whatever. I don't know. You do all this stuff on the outside. Is any of that external effort going to work and get you a seat at the table? Ford and Doubleday and DuPont and Frost. Of course not. So then why is it that people think that the new birth, which makes one a very child of God, is simply attained through the will or the efforts of the flesh? You know, turning over a new leaf, joining a church, giving money to worthy causes. Folks, I have less power this morning of making myself a Christian than I have of making myself the King of England. You must be born again, and you are not born into God's family by the will of the flesh, nor by the chance of inheritance. And that's not all. I want you to notice number three. John describes a third reason why folks are not born again. Not born again. And it's also found in verse 13, which we're born. Here it is. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now, note this carefully, because what God is saying here is that no man on this earth, no other person anywhere in the world, no human being, regardless of how powerful or how holy or how eloquent, no human mediator, nobody can do anything to you to bring you into God's family, to bring about for you the new birth. In other words, hear this, no baptism, no communion, no anointing with oil, no laying on of hands, no vote by a church board or a presbytery, none of that can make any man, nothing that any man can do will ever make another man or woman a child of God. If you board a plane this morning and travel to the Holy Land, get off the plane and there Pope Francis meets you and he takes you to the Jordan River and he baptizes you seven times. And when you come out of the water on the seventh time, Franklin Graham is there and prays over you and Benny Hinn breathes on you and lays hands on you and Joel Osteen smiles at you and Rick Warren anoints you. And after all of that, you sit down and you take communion from the resurrected bodies of Peter, James, and John. I want to tell you something. All of that wouldn't make you any more a child of God than finishing the crossword puzzle in today's paper. It wouldn't inch you one bit closer. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm pastor of this church. I was called to preach in January of 1971, 45 years ago. I was ordained in May of 1980, 35 years ago. I love this Bible, and I love people. But I'm going to tell you something. There is absolutely nothing that I can do in the flesh or humanly speaking that can make anybody in this world a child of God. Paul said, I wish that I were accursed for my brethren, the Jews, the people of Israel. He said, he wished he could, but he couldn't be. Jesus said, you must be born again. And you are born not by the will of man. Do you realize that everybody in America took a vote? You know, we're a democracy. We love plurality or majority of votes. If every person in America took a vote and the vote was 100% that you are a child of God, it would be absolutely worthless before the eyes of God. If Donald Trump gave 1,000 speeches and if in every speech he said, I'm going to build a great door. I'm going to build a big, beautiful door, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Believe me. And I'm going to make a way for you to go through and be saved. If Trump made 1,000 speeches on your behalf, promising you, believe me, that you're going to go through and get to heaven, and 41% of the people agreed with him, it wouldn't move you a billionth percent closer to truly being a child of God. Pastor, why? Because, folks, God says no. God says that to be a child of God, you have to be what? Born of God. Let's read it. Here it is. Thankfully, the verse doesn't end in verse 13 with those three things. Verse 13 again, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born, really, of God. Now, wait a minute. Born of God? Pastor, how does that happen? Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, folks, I'm going to close with this. There are two words in verse 12 that are absolutely crucial, both of them referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words are, number one, receive, the first part of the verse, and then number two, believe. How is any person born again into the family of God? God grants that power. I can't. God grants that power to those who believe and receive his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Across the page in chapter 3, look at these familiar verses. Of course, he's talking to Nicodemus. And in that context of talking to Nicodemus, he says those words we quoted earlier, verse 16. Most of you know them by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at the last verse of that great chapter, John chapter 3. Here it is, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God says no. If you do not say yes to Christ and Christ alone, this is his word, God says no to you. You young people in this room, you've grown up in a Christian home. I want you to understand something. You cannot count on your parents' salvation to suffice for you. You cannot expect that their new birth is somehow passed down to you. Oh, no, no, no. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You must, to be born again, you must believe and you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. All you folks in here who are religious, maybe church members, I want to remind you that if you look to your baptism or your sacraments or your good deeds, when it comes to being a child of God, all of God's children were individually born into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, my iPhone was dunked in water. Actually, I had it in my pocket, and I was cleaning around this pool, and I walked too close to my wife, and she pushed me, and I went in, and I said, "My phone," and that was the end of that. So I went to the Apple store and I got another one there through AppleCare. And while walking away, I decided to change the passcode. New phone, new code. I did, really quick. And I left, and a little while later, I was in my car and I needed to make a call. And by habit, I put in the old passcode. And of course, when you put in the old passcode, the phone shook and it did one of these numbers. You know, it's really like shaking, wagging its finger at you. No, 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 no. So I went, uh-oh. So I did it again. It did it again. Then I kind of panicked. I went, "What in the world?" So I did it again, and it did it again. Now I don't want to lock the phone. I can't figure it out. And then I just remembered I had a new passcode. And you know what? Then when I did it and punched it in, it was yes. I mean, it was like the whole world and the birds sang in unison. And space unicorns soared through the stars, delivering rainbows around the world with marshmallow lasers, true of aim, and so on. I mean, I was like, oh, yes. See, folks, nobody likes to be told no. We use it, we need it, it's right, it's good, it's helpful, and it's true in context. But really, nobody likes the word ouch. But the Bible is very clear. Nobody who is born again is born of blood, or of the will of man, or the will of the flesh. But anybody can be born of God. By faith this morning, you believe and thus receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning before church, I had the joy of leading a little girl, Cheyenne, to the Lord. She bowed her head. We explained salvation. Her grandmother was seated next to her. Her grandmother was a bus kid at Berean Baptist Church when she was a little girl many, many years ago. And she wanted her granddaughter to come to the Lord. And with simple childlike faith, she opened her heart. She believed and received. And this Wednesday night, she'll be baptized in obedience. This morning, you can believe and receive Christ as your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this day in every way, dear God. Thank you for those who've already opened their heart in faith to Lord Jesus Christ and gotten saved before the service, and those who've come. And Lord, for so many, Lord, that raised their hands, you saw, Father, that they wanted prayer. I pray that before this day is over, they will recognize that not merely raising of the hand, but raising of their heart by faith and accepting your Son is what you will say yes to. And Father, I pray that they all, before this hour is over, they all will say yes to Jesus Christ in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for those who have, for those of us, God, who know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May we be faithful to your gospel always. Thank you, dear God, for before we even knew it, when we were lost and sinners and unlovely, you said yes to us. We praise you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Fellowship for a while. See you tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.